The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The NBA playoffs were becoming a war of attrition. Little did I know that that was going to go to another level today. And it raises a real question about what we're watching and why we're watching it as the NBA playoffs continue with breaking news. It's a Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz. I'll be in for Max today. You guys can get involved in the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. The big news today that you may not have seen yet that will impact the rest of what we're going to see throughout the course of the NBA playoffs. Kawhi Leonard looks like he will miss the remainder of the Clippers series versus the Jazz. Sources told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne and Brian Windhorst. We'll ask Ramona about this in just a few minutes. She will join us. But Leonard, expected to miss this game five with a right knee injury, could be out at this point indefinitely. We have no idea for the remainder of the season what it means. Remember, he tweaked the knee on a drive late in the Clippers game four victory, which tied that series at two games apiece. He was not on the Clippers injury report Tuesday. But as we stand right now, it looks like it's Paul George that's going to have to lead the Clippers if that can be done. But that's not the only big news, as also we have seen the news from Phoenix Suns that Chris Paul has entered the NBA's health and safety protocols and is out indefinitely. So at this point, that jeopardizes his availability for the Western Conference Finals. The source confirmed to ESPN the league's rules for coronavirus-related isolation periods have evolved throughout the season. But at this point, we know that he has been vaccinated. And at this point, we don't know if it will result in an absence. And that brings us to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We've never seen a playoff like we've seen this year. Never. When you talk about the number of injuries, when you talk about the number of stars that are missing games, at some point, you have to look at it and say, we are getting a far different product than we ever could have imagined coming into the playoffs. Now, we don't know at this point if Chris Paul will miss any time. But as we sit right now, Kawhi Leonard will be the eighth different all-star to miss a playoff game this year. That's the most in a season in NBA history. Think about that. Because so often, we sit back and we say that the NBA has a predictability problem. Well, it doesn't this year. You can't predict anything. We can't even predict who's going to be on the floor. The question is, does it make it more interesting? And I want you guys to chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Easy to get me there. If you're an NBA diehard, do you love the opportunity to get to see other people rise? If you're an NBA casual, are you more interested in the playoffs because it doesn't have the same brands associated with it? Because these are real questions that will impact the rest of what we're going to watch throughout the course of this playoff. Now, you think about realistically what we expected coming into this season. We expected a year ago, right now, as we were talking about the bubble, we were saying, you know what, this is going to be a strange year. But next year, the Lakers are going to get it done again, the Clippers are going to be great, and Brooklyn will have it all handled. Well, what have we seen? Yeah, we'll get into KD and what he did last night. Trust me, we'll get into that. But realistically, what we've seen is total chaos. And that chaos comes from injury. At some point, yes, the young stars in this league, and I feel like we do this every couple of years, right? Every couple of years, we look at it and say, let's make a list right now of the best players in the NBA under the age of 25. And then the great analysts will all come in and say, man, the health of the game feels better than ever. Right? That frequently happens. And we've done that exercise again this year. And you look around and say, man, the young talent. I mean, the Jaws and the Zions. It's so easy to fall in love with some of the young players. You're looking at Phoenix, though. Were we really paying that much attention? Were we paying enough attention to the young core for Phoenix until CP3 got there? The answer is no. So I'm curious from your standpoint. When you're watching the games, you more into it? By the way, that's just the beginning of so much NBA news. I do want to get you caught up. ESPN sources have told us that Stan Van Gundy out as the Pelicans coach after only 1 year. So just talked about Zion and what that means. Well, obviously there's going to be a new coach coming in. Scott Brooks out as Wizards coach after their contract talks broke down. So all sorts of coaching news happening across the NBA. And again, we'll get into it in a few minutes with Ramona. But I look at these playoffs and I see an opportunity for the NBA. I see an opportunity for the NBA to get more stars involved, because I would argue for a lot of us that do love to watch the game that there are so many good players that we don't pay enough attention to. But realistically, they got to have their moment to shine. Other people have to get out of the way, right? Like, there has to be some sort of a passing of the torch or some sort of a moment. Like, Trae Young beating the Knicks wasn't a moment. Trae Young shushing Spike Lee was a moment. You get that. And all of a sudden, people that may not have paid a lot of attention to Trae Young or the Hawks have something to fall in love with. Playoff success is a legend maker, right? So now there's an opportunity, obviously, for guys like DeAndre Ayton to go in and have their legend made. Again, we'll get into it a little later, but we saw some legendary stuff last night. For guys to come in and have the platform, the opportunity, the question is, does it get you more into the game? Because realistically, you're going to hear a lot about ratings. Now, I'm going to go deep dive for 2 seconds on this conversation. Everybody talks about NBA ratings. What nobody talks about is where NBA consumers actually get their content. You know, one of the properties I'm really lucky to be involved with at ESPN is SportsCenter on Snapchat. SportsCenter on Snapchat gets a couple million kids every single day that watch it. And they're watching individual highlights of NBA players. That is, we have studied the metrics. We've seen it through and through. They are watching individual highlights of players. They love NBA highlights. It's facts. Kids are consuming it differently. But we're going to hear a big conversation without that context about ratings when we end up with a final that is different than most people thought we were going to get. So the question is, much like we say with the NFL, if you end up with no big name quarterbacks in the playoffs, what do you know? Ratings go down. You end up with big names that everybody knows, ratings go up, because ratings at the finals level is always about some level of casual fan. So is the casual fan going to flock to the opportunity to see Booker and Ayton in the finals? I don't know. I'm genuinely asking, because right now the saving grace for the NBA was the concept, hey, you know what? At least we can get Kawhi and Paul George and the Clippers. We still have a shot at LA of some sort versus Brooklyn. That's certainly what so many people around the TV side were hoping for, and that's not the reality that they're going to get. By the way, another all-star injury update. Utah Jazz point guard Mike Conley Jr. will remain sidelined for Wednesday's Game 5 against the Clippers. So both teams will be hamstrung. See, mild right hamstring strain. You're welcome, America. Both teams will remain a little hamstrung going into this. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max. I'm asking you guys, you more into it? You less into it? Andre in Massachusetts, thanks for calling the show. What's your thought on the war of attrition?
Yes, this is what I think a lot of people are going through right now in America in terms of all the obstacles and hurdles that you have to get over. And my point is, I don't think it's going to take away from people's interest. If anything, I think people are going to be more interested to see, again, who is going to be the strongest to survive. It does, you know, you don't want to see a championship decided based on injuries, but I don't think that's going to be the case. In conclusion, I think that Harden and or Kyrie will be back for Brooklyn. I think Chris Paul will definitely be back for Phoenix. Mike Conley will be back. You're going to see these top teams at full strength go at it, and we're going to have a true champion. And it has nothing to do with this marathon taking people out. It's going to be who's strong enough to finish the marathon at 26.2 miles and get there at the end.
I love the call, and look, I appreciate the concept on it, but not everybody agrees. I've already got We The Watch on Twitter said, injuries don't make it more interesting to me. It feels like it robs us of what we should be seeing. You know, and that's the interesting, I found myself mesmerized last night. Mesmerized because of everything we talked about yesterday between KD and what was on the line for the Nets and everything we were expecting from Milwaukee and Giannis. If that matchup doesn't have those players, is it as intriguing? I mean, even Harden coming in on one leg, essentially. Like, it's part of what makes it interesting to everybody that's sitting back and saying, oh my God, I have to see this. I mean, at some point, star power matters. That's some straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. The question is, can new stars emerge? I think that's going to be key in the process of figuring out how this all works. Can new stars emerge at this point? I mean, because what we're going to get out of the West, if there's no Kawhi, I mean, if there's no Kawhi, I struggle to see how the Clippers are going to win another game. I mean, I would love to give Paul George huge benefit of the doubt, but I simply won't. And before you at me and tell me, well, look at the Clippers. They had a winning record this year without Kawhi. Yeah, they did. They went 11-9 without Kawhi. Let's not make that some amazing thing. And by the way, their points per game swung about 10 points in the wrong direction with no Kawhi on the court. Think about that. I mean, you're asking a lot of Paul George to come in and suddenly be the guy. I don't see how that's going to happen here. It puts all the pressure on him. But realistically, it also opens all of our eyes. At some point, whether we want to or not, we're going to have to pay attention to Phoenix and Utah, right? Like, they're going to have to be part of the conversation. I mean, if we can't find some sort of moment there for a young, again, Phoenix, a young Suns team. But we're not talking about Booker. We're not talking about DeAndre Ayton. We're talking about CP3 because we like the stars we know. The question is, how do we grow through that? How do we grow past that, and what happens next? So, Mitch in New Jersey. Mitch, what's your thought on the Clippers in this matchup now that they're decimated?
Well, the other guys have to step up. Now, man, I'm mainly a Clipper fan, and I think the team is deep. I'm tired of not seeing DeMarcus Cousins not play. Terrence Mann has sat a few games. I'm not a Rondo fan, but I guess that was a good move because the other two point guards are a little up and down. So I'm hoping Paul George can kind of have another good game and not play like Boy George. And I think somehow gets through it. I mean, Chris Paul still gets the ring. I mean, Booker is the next Kobe. Maybe Booker will carry his team all the way because I don't like it with the Nets and the Bucks. The Bucks are unpredictable, and the Nets get all these injuries. I didn't think the Nets would win, but I saw Harden was in the box score. But Durant had a great game.
Hey, Mitch, thanks for the call, man. And look, I love the concept that, you know what, the Clippers, other players just need to step up. It's just not that simple. It truly isn't. And I think what we do so often when we look at NBA matchups is we devalue who's on the other side. Like, the concept that other people have to step up also presumes that if you're Utah, you don't have another gear you're about to go into because you know you got your shot. I mean, asking Paul George to step up is reasonable. But who's going to replace Kawhi on the defensive side of the ball? Like, nobody. I just keep thinking about what Kawhi did to Luka. Like, it is stuck in my head that we saw Luka do so much, and then Kawhi said, nah, you're done. You don't get any more. And the concept of everybody just has to step up, well, at some point, some guys are just better than other guys. Some guys are better number twos than they are number ones. I mean, that we have to look at both sides of the conversation here. And I think to presume that the Clippers can step up and just get through this comes back to what we've been talking about. We know the Clippers is a brand. We know Kawhi is a brand. We know Paul George is a brand. So we feel like, all right, the Clippers must be better than Utah. Guess what? They're not. Even with Kawhi on the floor, they've been struggling through this. And the one time this season that they played without Kawhi involved, that they played Utah, oh, what do you know? The Clippers lost by 18. I mean, that's not even a close matchup. I think Utah can absolutely just ram it through the Clippers at this point. They just don't have, you're losing your guy, your number one guy. And I don't think we can put enough value on that. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz sitting in for Max, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Want to give KD a little bit of love here, too, by the way. I mentioned we'll get into it in no time like the present. I mean, when you look at what KD did last night, I said on air, and one, forgive me for not remembering, one of you guys called in, I'm sure you'll remind me, and you said, you know what, if KD's so good, why doesn't he just go in there and win it himself? I laughed at that concept. And then that's what we watched. We watched a night from KD that I don't think anybody could have anticipated. We watched a night from KD that reminded you how easy he can make it look. And I can't get the thought out of my head of watching KD. No matter who you put on Kevin Durant, he rose above, he shot over everybody, and he made everything. I mean, when you talk about playing every single minute, my God, when you talk about the efficiency that he played with, I'm thinking about that. The guy that was there for every minute of the game, that couldn't be stopped, that rose above. And then all I keep thinking about is the other end of the court. Giannis just dropping the ball, fumbling the ball away with less than a minute left, down by four when the pass was perfect and he needed to go up with it. Man, that's what we saw last night. We saw one person rise above everything and say, you can try to stop me, but you can't actually do it. And we saw somebody else have his limitations exposed. It's just a truth. It doesn't mean that Giannis can't grow. It doesn't mean that I'm out on Giannis, the great player. I'm certainly not. I think that Giannis just has to get more to his game. And we saw that last night because when they pinched down and said, nope, you're not getting it, you're not going to score, it was difficult for Giannis. It was never difficult for KD. Which leads me to, you know, just one real question. I want everybody to think, just realistically, look in the mirror and be real with yourself. Have you made up your mind on Kevin Durant so much that no matter what he does now, you're never going to give him benefit of the doubt? Because if you have, you're missing out. I'm just going to be real. Like, I don't care that KD went to Golden State. I don't. I don't care where he chose to play. I don't care that he went to Brooklyn. I don't care that he's built super teams. I don't care about any of it. I really don't have a dog in the fight. But so many of you guys do. And suddenly, you're looking at Kevin Durant, and you've made your mind up. I said it repeatedly, that the LeBron versus MJ is like, my dad can beat up your dad, never resolvable. Like, that's where we are on KD. It's either, oh, he's, you know, you can't fault him, or you can't credit him. There's no in-between. Guess what there is? And if you're so dug in on KD not being worth the praise he gets, man, you missed out on an epic performance last night. I don't care how hard you think you need to be dug in on Kevin Durant. If you can't find the greatness in what you saw last night, that's a you problem. All day, every day. You have buried your head in the sand if you can't look up and acknowledge that KD last night took it to one of the best players in the world and beat one of the best remaining teams in the playoffs, essentially single-handedly, on a night where they did everything to stop him and they simply couldn't. Man, that's domination. And the unfortunate thing is we get so caught up in our hot takes about it that we don't appreciate it. I'm willing to bet cold, hard cash that most of you right now that are trashing KD are going to be the same people that when your grandpa's sitting around, you're going to tell your grandkids, oh, you think this guy's good? I watched Kevin Durant in his prime. Should have seen what he did. It absolutely blows my mind. Now, there's a lot to credit and a lot to blame in that game. I love you guys wanting to chime in. Richard in L.A., what are your thoughts on that Nets-Bucks matchup last night?
Yes, how you doing today? Well, not only that, Jason, and we watched the same game. The man did this performance under extreme pressure, okay? P.J. Tucker was so physical with him. It didn't faze him. It doesn't matter who they put on him. He is a unstoppable force, okay? Quickly, I want to comment. Coach Budenheiser, one of the most basic plays in basketball history, the pick and roll. Stockton and Malone did it for 20 years in Utah. Why did Milwaukee get away from that in the first half when they had a seven-point lead? The Nets could not defend the pick and roll in the paint. Why did they choose to start shooting 30-foot jumpers and get away from what got them the lead? And comment on that. I'll take the answer off the air.
You are 1,000% right. Like, Coach Bud is one of the most head-scratching individuals in NBA coaching lore at this point, because you know he's coaching for his job. Like, you know that they lose this series, he's done. He is absolutely done if they don't win this series. And the number of times I look at it and say, what are you doing? Like, I'll excuse the Hawks, you know, a few games ago. Remember when they sort of melted down at the end of the game? They couldn't seem to find a way to inbounds the ball. They're a young team trying to figure a lot of things out. Like, there is nothing young about the Bucks. There's nothing figure it out about the Bucks. The Bucks got lost at the end of the game. And when the Nets just started swinging in the fourth quarter, the Bucks had no answer for it. And at some point, you got to look, yes, as I mentioned, at Giannis dropping the ball. I'll do that all day long. But you also, at the end of the day, you got to look right at Coach and say, hey, when everything was going to you-know-what, when everything was falling apart, what was your go-to play? What was your go-to moment where you knew you could stop the funk? The answer for Coach Bud and the Bucks is there wasn't one. Absolutely embarrassing the way they fell apart at the end, and total testament to KD and the Nets. By the way, this is what Steve Nash, Nets head coach, had to say about KD and his historic performance last night.
Man, just historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. Got to the line, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. I mean, 49 points. I mean, it's ridiculous what he's able to do. I think we know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight.
Now, again, that was Coach Nash on Kevin Durant's huge performance. Obviously, I told you we're going to talk to Ramona Shelburne. We're going to do it. She's working on a breaking story. We'll get you caught up on that next. Plus, I want more of your thoughts. Has Kevin Durant changed your mind? Are you all in on the lack of stars of the playoffs? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you guys get in on the fun and the conversation. But first, I got to give you some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, especially for me. I'm frugal, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot more when you can pay half? That's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts, no compromise. More of your Straight Talk coming next. Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'll admit, I came into today thinking going to be an easy day on the Max Kellerman Show. So much to talk about from last night. I didn't expect that the NBA would give us breaking news all stinking morning, and they have. There's so much to get to. We're going to get some expertise. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz in for Max today. You can hit me up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I promise over the course of the show, we're going to make everything interactive. You guys will get in. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. But I got to get right to the breaking news. So we're going to go straight over to the Goodyear hotline where Ramona Shelburne joins us, ESPN senior writer. Ramona, I know you are crazy. Everything is slammed. I know you're working on something breaking. So what's the latest that you've got in the world of breaking NBA news?
I mean, which topic? This has been a morning. Like, I started off last night with the Kawhi Leonard thing, and then we moved into Stan Van Gundy in the morning, and now the Dallas thing. I mean, it's a morning, but look, I think the biggest news this morning is the situation with Kawhi Leonard, in a sense that he's out for the game tonight, which is, he's been their all world player. He's had an amazing game last game. This could be a minute. Like, they think that this injury, they called it a sprain. My sense is they are calling it a sprain until they get more imaging, because when you have something like this, you get a lot of swelling. So you can't tell exactly how severe it is initially. But, I had heard that it was a sprain in his knee involving, they think, the ACL, but you can't tell yet when there's a lot of swelling. And so, he's out for now. I don't expect him to play this series unless something really miraculous happens. But, here's a team that has championship aspirations, and now it's on playoff P.
The crazy part about this, Ramona, is that we've seen this happen so much across the league this year. So when it's all said and done, does the NBA look at this and try and figure out why this happened this year?
The NBA is really good about trying to look at why things happen. They've been a league that has studied injury protocols. They've studied why people get hurt. I'm sure they already are. And I think we all know that the condensed season, the quick turnaround from last season, that all factored into why there's been so many injuries. But I don't know, Kawhi Leonard landed wrong on this. Is that because they had a lot of games back-to-back this year? I mean, not back-to-back, but they had a lot of games in a condensed period of time. I don't know. He could have just landed wrong, right? I mean, some of these injuries, you say, I think soft tissue injuries, you could probably attribute those to the condensed season, but I don't know about some of these other injuries. And I think, Chris Paul with being placed in health and safety protocols, yet another big thing that we never even knew existed last year, right? This is a big concern, but the way this works is if he was vaccinated, which he has not said whether he is or not, if he was that, he just has to test negative twice and before being cleared, right, to get out of these protocols. So it could be shorter. But we have to wait for word up from Chris on where he stands and how he's feeling.
We're talking to ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne on the Max Kellerman Show on a very busy NBA news day. I'm Jason Whew. Fitz sitting in for Max. I don't know how you're keeping your head on a swivel at this
I'm
point.
Not. As I'm sitting here, I'm getting ready to do the jump. I just drove down here. I'm putting makeup on in the car as I'm talking to you. This is like I was driving and texting. It was very, yeah. That was weird.
So before we let you, because I know you have so much to get to, before we let you go, your thoughts last night when you see the way not just KD played, but some of the limitations that felt like they were exposed on Giannis. Like, I'm looking at two different superstars when I watch it, trying to figure out, did KD's greatness just sort of make Giannis look worse to me in that moment? Or is there some moment of just seeing the massive difference between the two?
Well, you know what's interesting about the Giannis? That's a great way to put it. What's amazing to me is, like, KD, we've had this debate of who the best player is for a while. I thought it was very fun that LeBron tweeted right as that happened. It's like, oh, LeBron has entered the conversation. So that's who we talk about it with, right? I mean, it's either KD or LeBron is who's the best player. We all kind of forgot about KD this year because he was hurt for so much of it, and he was hurt all last year. So it's kind of hard to put him in that conversation when he's been out. But, man, he was unbelievable last night. And when you talk about Giannis, like, the same issues that we have talked about for years with Giannis, whether it's outside shooting, whether it's free throw shooting, et cetera, are still there. And it really is. He is an unbelievable player, but he's had this stuff to work on for quite a while. And, you know, I know the guy a little bit in the sense that I think he's going to keep working on it. And this is the reason why he doesn't get over the hump in the playoffs, right? And it was hard watching him continue to get fouled and struggle at the line like that. Wasn't it? Was it hard for you to watch that? I was like,
it's heartbreaking for a player that's so good. I mean, you just look at it and say, how are we still here with this one major issue, this one flaw? And I just don't know what fixes it for, Ramona.
Well, I mean, you know, I covered Shaquille O'Neal, so that was a problem for him his entire career. And he kind of worked on it, but I don't think he could still dominate and he still won championships. So, you know, he didn't, you know, they always say like, this is a strange analogy, but it's the first one that pops in my head. But, you know, when you have like pain, it's a real strong motivator to get treatment, right? Like when you have something wrong with you, go to the doctor. Okay. And if they tell you to do something, you do it because you want to feel better and you know that this feels really bad, right? So you understand the situation. If Giannis keeps running up against this, I think he's got to go. I think he's got to deal with it. And he's the kind of guy who will, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's going to run from it and not take it seriously. Like I think he really truly wants to win. And if the shooting issue or the free throws are keeping him from doing that, I he'll work on it. Can he do enough? I don't know. Right. I mean, he's really good as it is, but I don't know how you get to be as good as Kevin Durant.
Ramona, obviously there's a bunch of big jobs that are open this year. A lot of head coach openings. I hear Becky Hammon's name every year. Teresa Weatherspoon is the name I'm hearing a lot, obviously, early on who's going to get interest. What's it going to take for one of these amazing assistant coaches that's a woman to go from being a name of interest for publicity to actually getting hired for the job?
So I think the Teresa Weatherspoon is a really interesting idea there in New Orleans. She's obviously an incredible player herself, right? If you followed her WNBA career, she's an Olympic career and all that. Highly regarded. She's also highly regarded by Zion Williamson. I think that's going to be fun to watch play out here because I think when you say, what does it take? Well, it takes an organization to decide to do that. It takes a general manager to believe this is the best person for the job, but it also takes a star. It takes a group of stars to say, this is what we're going to do. This is who I want. And this, I'll play for her and I'll look, you know, I'm going to give everything for her. So I think that's a fun one to watch. But I think this is, in my mind, Jace, this is the closest we have come to seeing a woman head coach here. But I think that, you know, Becky and with Teresa, I think this is the closest any female coach has come to getting a very serious shot for both of these, for that opening and other openings that are out there.
Guys can follow her on Twitter, especially today with all the news, at Ramona Shelburne, and then check her out on The Jump and everywhere else. I really appreciate your time on a slam day
and
your insights, as always, my friend. Thank you so much.
Well, it's, you know, I like you, and I like Raj, so, you know, that's how that goes.
Hey, we'll take it however we can get it. Ramona, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Ramona joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. All right, everyone thinks Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay. I'm going to tell you why there's a 0% chance he's the starting quarterback anywhere but Green Bay. And we'll do that next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Small business protection just got easier with more than 30 coverage options to get available. Progressive has you covered. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. It's the Max Kellerman Show. Jason Fitz in for Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Turner Sports. Well, that wasn't Turner Sports. I'm just going to try all that again. What is the fourth wall here? Jason Fitz in for Max Kellerman. You guys can get in on the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, brought to you by attorneys Cordell and Cordell. Fair divorce for men. Call 1-866-DADS-LAW to get in touch with them. All right, so a lot of conversation every single day about Aaron Rodgers. And I say this with the utmost respect. I think 95% of my peers are just outrageously wrong when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Can you say that with respect? I don't know. Like, I feel like that's the Southern version of being, you know, when you come in and try and sort of qualify things when I'm just like, but y'all have lost your minds. All right. As much as we want to talk about Aaron Rodgers constantly, and there's this conversation every time Aaron speaks versus the conversation every time, you know, anybody within the Packers organization speaks. At some point, you got to look at it and say, what's it all mean? And the answer is nothing. I mean, think about what we've done. We, and I mean ESPN. Like, I'm just going to just be real with you for a second. Didn't we hit the offseason saying, this is going to be the season of unprecedented quarterback change? And what did we get? I mean, Sam Darnold going to the Panthers? Were we really thinking that the swap between the Lions and the Rams was going to be the thing that suddenly changed everything? I mean, we expected massive quarterback change. We got a little. We become infatuated with what quarterbacks are going to do. And now they're all just trolling us. Did you see the video on Twitter? Pete Carroll having his press conference. Russ comes up, puts his arm around him, says, hey, just so you know, we're still friends. Oh man. So we react to everything that happens, including when Aaron Rodgers speaks. This is Aaron Rodgers reminding us he's just chilling.
Yeah, it's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about, where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season's been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
The amount of trolling happening right now in the media between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is funny. But what's it all mean? Nothing. Because there's nothing Aaron Rodgers can do here. Understand that he can force a trade in his mind, he can threaten to retire, or he can play for the Packers. Now, everybody else will tell you about his Super Bowl opportunities, where he could possibly go, all of these things. I don't care about any of that. I'm going to put myself directly into the shoes of the Packers. By the way, that was Turner Sports on the Aaron Rodgers audio you just heard. I'm going to put myself directly in the Packers' shoes for a second. I'm going to look at Aaron, and I'm going to say, you know what? I don't really care what you want. It's cute that you don't want to play here. Cool. If Aaron Rodgers does not play in the NFL, then the Packers can go after him for roughly $32 million. So the Packers can look at Aaron Rodgers and say, fine, you want to retire? Cool. Write us a check for $32 million and sit around because we're going to hold your rights. I mean, right now, what can they get in return for Aaron Rodgers that will make a difference right now? Today, this season, nothing. And it's going to accelerate their timeline, force them to put in a Jordan Love they may not be ready to start yet. So the win for them is basically non-existent in trading Aaron Rodgers. If they trade Aaron Rodgers, he goes somewhere else. A, they've set the precedent that they don't want to set, that, you know, a player can come in and say he wants out. B, through all of it, Jordan Love comes in, struggles a little bit, while Aaron goes off and maybe wins the Super Bowl somewhere else? You can't get that egg off your face. Now you got double egg. Jordan's not playing well. Aaron Rodgers is? Oh, double egg. And who do you have to blame but yourself at that point? But if you're the Packers and you go to the fan base and say, we tried. We did everything we could. We went to his house. We apologized. We told him that, hey, man, we want to make it right. And he still doesn't want to play for us. Well, we're not going to let him play anywhere else. Now, if Jordan Love comes in and struggles, it's Aaron Rodgers that's the bad guy, not the Packers. I mean, for the Packers, what's the win in trading him other than they'll get a bounty of something that they may or may not be able to use currently? What's the risk versus reward? Will that outweigh? You're putting yourself suddenly in a situation where every single one of those picks that you get in return is going to be a, well, what did they get for Aaron Rodgers? Every year in the draft, it's going to be, this is the Aaron Rodgers pick. Why would you do that if you're the Packers? You don't. And trust me, when Mark Murphy speaks out, the CEO of the Packers, when they speak out as an organization and they continue to say things like, well, you know, he's an unusual dude. They're sending a message. They're not handling anything anymore with kid gloves in the media. They're not coming around and being quiet to try and work on it. They're kind of stepping up every time they have the chance and saying, you know what? We're going to do us and he can do him. And if they're that dug in the court of public opinion, and they no longer care what anyone thinks, why do they care what Aaron Rodgers wants? That's why, in my mind, he's either going to play for the Packers or he's not going to play at all in the NFL. I don't see any situation where they trade him. All right, it's the Max Kellerman Show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Did what you see from KD change your mind on him? Plus, we're not getting what we planned for in the NBA playoff, but I'd argue makes it more interesting. I'll tell you why next.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.